across the UK, across continental North America, and around the world on the internet by webcast and by podcast. My name is Howard Hughes, and this is the Return of the Unexplained. Well, as somebody said, maybe a number of people once said, we live in interesting times. The whole world gripped by this global pandemic of COVID-19, and every country seemingly trying to find a different way through it. As the death toll rises and the number of cases increase in many places, we are learning all the time. I am massively hopeful that medical science will bring us a breakthrough about this. I don't have any special knowledge. I've never been a psychic. I never will be. But I have a feeling that with a big international effort being made, that is the way that things will pan out. We will see. In the meantime, here in the UK, I'm hunkered and bunkered down. We are allowed to go out if we need to get essential shopping, once a day for a little walk around, as long as we keep 2 meters distant from other people and observe rules of using hand gel, if you've got it, constant washing of hands, and being very, very careful. You know, I can tell you my own story here before we get to the guest and anything else here, and some shout-outs as well, which I think we need. My own story was that yesterday, planned like a military operation, I had to go out and get some shopping. I had a list in my head of things that I wanted to get. So first of all, I went to one of the big supermarkets round here. It was 8:30 in the morning, and there was a queue all the way round the car park, snaking round it. So that was a non-starter, a no-go. Then I went to a smaller supermarket. I arrived there about 8:40 a.m. and was able to get the things that I needed, pretty much. Lots of empty shelves, though, many things just not available. You try getting hand sanitizer, you try getting long-life milk, which I use a lot here because I don't go through a lot of milk. Cereals, much depleted. Canned soup, not a lot of that. Baked beans, they've got some, but not massive quantities. That is how things are. It's the new normal. And, of course, the whole thing involves militarily planning it. So parking the car outside this little supermarket, doing the hand gel going in, hand gelling the basket, then doing my shop, then standing 2 meters between myself and the person in front of me at the checkout, and then the checkout person wearing gloves and being very careful, which she had to be, of course. And when I came to pay, I think the shop was in total about £60. I used my credit card and had to put it inside the machine, and then I wiped with a wipe that I had with me the keypad. And then I left with my shopping, took it to the car, did my hands again. Then I had to go to the bakery, and the bakery was letting one person in at a time. So I got my bread, did the hand gel, put it in the car. Then the next big task was to get some cash, just in case you need some cash. And, you know, I don't know whether that's what you've done, but I've got a little bit of cash, not a huge amount, but a little bit of cash, just in case I need to pay somebody for something in cash. So I had to wipe down the cash point, the ATM, get rid of the cloth that I'd used to wipe down that, do the hand gel, get the money, go back to the car, do the hand gel again, and then drive home. And I think that was about as much risk as I could take in one day. I'm laughing, but you know, it is serious. And I was wearing a mask. I managed to get 6 masks by post weeks ago. I was wearing a mask while I did that. I don't want to go out too much during this, certainly not to do shopping. You might think that I'm being overly cautious, but I've seen the way that this thing affects people. So my message to you is please adhere to the guidance in whatever country you're in and stay safe. Now, the guest on this edition, I thought we needed something uplifting, is Rebecca Campbell. We're going to talk about the Starseed Oracle. It's a 53-card deck and guidebook. It says on the back here, have you always had a longing for home without really knowing what that meant? If so, you could be a starseed soul. This activating oracle will help you to unlock your soul gifts, connect with your true cosmic origins, and remember who you truly are. God, I think I need that right now. Rebecca Campbell used to be in the advertising industry, as you will hear. So, you know, we'll see what we make of this. Something a little different, I think, just for a change on this edition of The Unexplained. You know, a lot of you saying when I did coronavirus on the podcast and on my radio show, that maybe it was time just to be, you know, not exactly ignore the topic, but, you know, not to constantly hammer it. I think we have to do it on The Unexplained. We have to talk about it, mention it. But we can do other things as well. Of course we can, because that's what the show is all about. So I take your point. And that's the whole idea of doing this now. It is so different. And maybe a little uplifting for all of us. Shout-outs, before we get to Rebecca Campbell in the UK. Gurudat in Mumbai, where you've got a 14-hour curfew, I think, Gurudat, haven't you? So please take care. Daniel in Egbeth in Liverpool, thanks so much for keeping your podcast going through all of this. I appreciate it, says Daniel. Simon in BC, Canada, talks to me about the strangeness around Admiral Byrd's Antarctic expedition. We talked about that on the radio with Linda Moulton Howe. Must do that again sometime soon. Simon... Zed in Texas, thank you. Liked Gerard Williams. Thank you for that. Lot of good response about him. Shirley in Ontario, Oshawa. Oshawa in Ontario. Is it Oshawa? I think it's Oshawa in Ontario. Shirley, thank you very much for your nice email. IK in the UK. It could be Ick, but I think it's IK. Thank you for your suggestion about Art Bell. IK or Ick. Watch this space, as we say. Richard Persgrove, good to hear from you. Aaron in Vancouver, great email, Aaron. You really lifted me, thank you. From Ant, hope you're well in these troubling times, says Ant. Let's hope things return to normality, some kind of it soon. Loving the Paul Sinclair show that we did recently. We'll do more with Paul, of course. I have a question, says Ant. Do you like audiobooks? Yes, I do. Can you recommend one? Or can you recommend some? The best one that I've heard recently, and I interviewed the author, was Gianni Russo's Hollywood Godfather. What a great book that is. But read by the man himself, it takes on a whole new dimension. A nice bit of recording, too. If you're into recording and the way things sound, you're going to love that one. So Hollywood Godfather, Gianni Russo. If you could give me a little percentage for that plug, Gianni, I'd be very grateful. Please don't send the boys round. So, Ant, I hope that helps. Liam in Liverpool, thank you for your comments. I think the person you were asking me about is a guy called Barry Fitzgerald in Ireland, who was a very, very good guest on the radio show. James made some points about Gerard Williams. James, would you like me to put those points to Gerard Williams by sending him your email and then getting his response if he's able to give one? Let me know and we'll do that. And that's about it for shout-outs. If you want to get in touch with me, tell me how things are where you are. Doesn't have to be about the unexplained. Just check in if you'd like to. You know, all of us need to maintain our familial connections. And I like to think the unexplained is a bit of a family. So you're part of that. If you want to get in touch with me for anything, go to the website, designed by Adam at Creative Hotspot, theunexplained.tv. Follow the link and send me a message, guest suggestion, anything you want from there. I love to hear from you, and thank you. When you do get in touch, tell me who you are, where you are, and how you use this show. What else? If you'd like to make a donation for the show, the online version to help me keep going with all of this after 14 years this month, then that would be gratefully received too. That's on the website, theunexplained.tv. All right, let's get to Rebecca Campbell now. We're going to talk about the Starseed Oracle. Have you always had a longing for home? I think for most of my life, you know, wherever I lay my hat was always my mantra. I used to travel all over the country working. Yeah, I have that longing for home. Let's find out what this is all about. Let's get on Rebecca Campbell. Rebecca, thank you for coming on The Unexplained.
It is a pleasure to be here and with all of your listeners as well.
I love that accent. I can pick up a bit of Aussie there, but you are not in Australia.
I am not. I am in Glastonbury in the United Kingdom. I moved over to London probably about 14, 15 years ago now. And yeah, just a year ago, moved to the countryside in Somerset in England.
I love Glastonbury. It is an amazing place. It is a place, they say, of great spirituality, but a lot of New Agey type people and stuff like that, and people who think a lot about life and the meaning of it, they move themselves to Glastonbury. So talk to me about what it is about Glastonbury. Why is it so good?
I think it's the energy of the land for me. There are so many ancient sacred sites here. It took me probably being, when I first went traveling when I was 18, I found myself on this spontaneous ancient pilgrimage without really knowing what it was at that time. But I visited Glastonbury and I visited Stonehenge and Avebury and so many of the ancient, incredible sites over here. And yeah, something really sparked within me. And it wasn't until many years later, after I'd been in London for a good 5 or 6 years, that I ended up finding my way back here. And it became a place that I ended up coming just myself to just have like a solo retreat. And it was really just the place I'd go to fill up my well. You know, those places that you end up just feeling really good in. That's what it was for me.
Yeah. Well, I can totally relate to that. You know, now that I'm in London, but I'm in the London suburbs and I'm quite lucky. I'm near Surrey.
But oh, gorgeous.
Wow. Is that somebody with a motorbike who's like just come past?
That's like the one person who is on the street at the moment.
Because, yeah, I was going to talk about that. Where I am right now, okay, in the London suburbs, very close to one of Her Majesty's Royal Parks. Normally, what time are we recording this? We're recording this. I'm looking at the clock now. It's 13 minutes past six as we record this. The sun is going down this beautiful apricot-coloured sky, and the park is empty, and it is eerily quiet. It's so weird, but it must be like, well, I know it is. You know, when the sun goes down in Glasgow, that's how it is, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think this area is like really famous for its sunsets, and you know, the sea used to be all around here, and you used to be able to... Yeah, I mean, when you drive towards the Glastonbury Tor from a distance, you can just see it miles and miles away.
Now, we have to tell people who have never been there, not lucky enough to have been there, and I do recommend that you do, that the Glastonbury Tor is like this sharp relief stick-up hill that is almost, it's not right in the middle of the town, but it's very close to the middle of the town. Everybody goes up that thing, and there is, I've forgotten, what is that sanctuary that's at the top of it?
So it's like a pillar to St. Michael, and actually the story goes that they once built a church at the top, but then a big hurricane came and blowed it down, essentially. And so goddess lovers say that it was always for the goddess, not the church. So there is a lot of myths, a lot of stories in around this land. So yeah, it's really, very special.
It is. I mean, is that where you're going to stay now?
Who knows? You know, my husband and I were planning on moving back to Australia, but life had a different plan for us. We ended up finding, we had a place that we were buying in London and then in Australia, and everything just fell through. And it was one of those moments where it just seems like you just had to follow the trail of where life was leading you. And we ended up thinking we were just going to rent in Glastonbury. We've run retreats here and both of us really loved the area. And so we're thinking we'll just rent for 6 months while we go back to Australia, work out where we want to settle. And we were planning on starting a family. And then we saw this place that was for rent, and then it was also for sale. And we walked inside, and 5 minutes later, we realized that we'd put an offer on it. And the next day, it got accepted. And that was about a year ago.
Oh, wow.
Well, and we've just had a son, and so we've had a son, and we live here. So yeah, it's but it very much feels like home.
Yeah, well, I get that feeling when I go there, you know, myself. What I hear from some people, though, and I think there will be some interest in our conversation here, because Glastonbury is a bit of a beacon for people from all around the world who are, you know, wanting to discover themselves. Maybe I've heard that it's a bit insular. You know, it's a bit in. It's if you join the community there, some people say that it's difficult to get into it all. Have you found that?
Well, I think that there is a lot of, I think the genuine connections take a little bit of time. But I think that I found the same for London as well. Like places that attract people who come and go, who are searching for something. I think that they do take a little bit longer to make those genuine connections. But eventually, yeah, those genuine connections do end up happening. But yeah, I think I find that I'm like one of the most normal people in Glastonbury. Okay. Whereas in London, I was not.
Yeah, I think that's, yeah, I can totally, it all depends on the background you're set against. I know exactly what you're saying. And if you're a zebra in the Serengeti, if they have zebra, I'm sure they do, have zebra, yeah. Zebra in the Serengeti, then you're going to blend in just nicely. If you're a zebra in London, you're going to stick out like a zebra.
It's so true. I think one of the reasons it's a place for spiritual pilgrims is because of the ley lines, which they say are like the energetic meridians of the earth, where when you pull up, they've tracked where all ancient temples and churches, etc., have been plotted around the world. So that's one reason that people do come here.
Hmm. Now, I want to hear your, before we talk about the Starseed Oracle, which we will, I want to hear your story, because I read in your biography that you were in the advertising industry and you packed it all in.
I certainly did. Yeah, I was a creative director, copywriter based. My whole life I had just this yearning to put creations out into the world. I had this kind of like memory that I was here for a reason, but I didn't know why and what it was. And it really stressed me out, to be honest. I had a spiritual awakening quite young. I grew up in a family that wasn't particularly spiritual, or anything like that. And so I found it a bit tricky when I was a teenager reconciling those two worlds. And so I was in a bit of a spiritual closet, to be honest.
What was the spiritual awakening?
I began seeing, the big one was I read about a girl who had passed away who was about my age and was really moved by the story. And the next day I went to school and was telling my friend about this story and just how I felt like I just needed to somehow find the mum and hug the mum, and I didn't really understand it. And I showed my friend the picture of this woman who had lost her daughter. And my friend looked up at me and her jaw dropped. And the mother was literally standing like about 10 meters away from us while we were at school. Yeah. So that was really the beginning where, and I ended up, developing a relationship with her. She was actually at my school to speak to the children. Her daughter died of a drug overdose. So she was talking about anti-drugs, etc. And yeah, I had a couple of experiences like that where I couldn't explain it and I had nowhere to really put it. And anyone that I spoke to couldn't explain it either. But I ended up meeting a few different mothers who had lost children, and they were on a spiritual path. And so I would go to workshops and read books with them. And so they were essentially my spiritual running buddies at that time. So that was really the beginning of my spiritual journey. And in my experience, when we have an awakening, it's not always pretty. it can seem all glamorous, but really I think it's quite difficult to, because you're having to let go of your preconceived ideas of what you think the world is and how you find meaning in it. And so in those teenage years, it was fascinating and I couldn't get enough of it. It was also quite difficult because by day I was just a normal school kid. And then by night I was learning about past lives and all of these amazing things that I did feel called towards, but it was like I had a bit of a double life.
Right. Was anything happening for you? You know, was anything manifesting? Could you see things?
Yes, absolutely. I would essentially like channel these dead teenagers. Essentially, I didn't understand it at the time, but I'd be writing poetry, I'd be writing letters, and so it always came through the written word.
Okay, and were you, in a way, proving that there was a life after this one? In other words, was there anything factual about it?
Yeah, absolutely. It was like information that I couldn't have possibly known. So that was really shocking for me, and I really didn't know where to put it. And so what I ended up doing was I ended up committing to my spiritual practice, committing to learning as much as I could to try and understand these experiences that I was having. But I also went about having quite a normal life as well. I went to university, went traveling. I was very much led to sacred sites, ancient sacred sites, which of course, like I understand now, but I didn't really understand at that time. And then I ended up, I knew that I wanted to put creations out into the world. And so I went into advertising. I trained as a copywriter, which was really incredible training now when I look back at it, because with me writing books and all of that, I have definitely been trained by some really hardcore writers. In my creative director career, I'd have to write about 200 headlines in order for one to make it through. So I think that type of media training is very helpful for the work I do now, as I know yours has been as well.
Well, communication is very important. And one thing I find, and if there are people here, sometimes people contact me and they say, I would like to be on your show. And sometimes they'll really surprise you by being really great communicators and having a great story to tell. And mm-hmm. sometimes they will not have the first idea about mm-hmm. how to communicate. So what mm-hmm. they will do is they might be able to do something, or they might have discovered something. They've no idea how to tell you about it. They will talk all around it, but they won't tell you the actual thing you need to know. Mm-hmm. So then when you get somebody like that on, so I don't know why I'm talking about this now, but it's weird in the silence here in this strange period that we're all going through.
Isn't it?
But you get people on like that, and you have to be constantly trying to put them onto the mm-hmm. right line, trying to keep them on point without sounding like you're constantly interrupting them. And it's something that, you know, I'm still learning that stuff, and I've been doing this for years. But, mm-hmm. you know, communication's a big thing. So if you've been in advertising, and I, as somebody who, you know, I voice ads from time to time, mm-hmm. not very often, I love the creative copywriter's art. You know, I was a journalist for years and years and years, and I love coming up with headlines and stuff like that. And, you know, I've got a couple of, most of them I've just put away in the garage now, but a couple of the awards that I won in London over the years. And most of them were not for The Voice and speaking on the radio. They were for the journalism and the writing and stuff like that. It's mm-hmm. a great skill that you have there. So how did you choose then, after those teenage experiences and having, you think, communication with those who passed, how mm-hmm. did you choose to give it all up and think that you could do something to help people?
Well, to be honest, it was one of those things where I just couldn't handle living a life that didn't feel fully aligned anymore. It was just becoming harder and harder to show up for work that felt quite meaningless to me. I had convinced myself that I was what I would call like an undercover light worker, where I was putting positive messages out there through the creations I was doing. But when I look back at it, I was just too scared to actually step into the work that I really came here to do. So it was around 2012 where it was a classic story of my whole life crumbling, living far away from family and friends, 12-year relationship ending, my best friend passing away, and then two other close friends passing away straight after that, just in quick succession. That, you know, in those rare opportunities of the rock bottom, I just didn't have enough strength to fight against what I was really being called to do. And in that moment, I just finally surrendered and let that wise part of me that had been there when I had those first experiences as a teenager, and I just let that part of me finally lead.
And what did the people that you left behind in the business that you were in think of what you had done?
So first of all, I had what I called an elevator pitch, which was, instead of telling them that I was leaving to do soul readings, etc., I just said, look, I've always had a dream of writing a book. And so I'm at a point in my life where I want to give myself 6 months to do that. So that felt like a more digestible thing to say, because it's such a big thing to turn your back on this career, which, you know, I'd totally defined myself in. And also you're not sure if it's going to work out. So yeah, I came up with the elevator pitch, which I recommend for anyone who doesn't, who needs to, I also told it to family and friends who were, you know, because of their own beliefs, would have thought I was crazy for giving up such a great career.
So those people that you worked with, they knew you were going to write a book, and they knew you were going to do something, but it's only later that they would have found out what the something was.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I remember in the phase where I was kind of like, I call it coming out of the spiritual closet. I little by little, instead of when people asked me what I was doing on the weekend, and I just kind of, instead of saying whatever intuitive studies I was doing, I just gave them a normal answer. I little by little began revealing these different parts of me, and that was so interesting.
Okay. We will get to the book and the cards in a second. You say that you run retreats in Glastonbury. You know, a lot of people do. What is it that you think you're doing for people?
I feel like, particularly Glastonbury, I think that there is places around the earth that are very ancient and hold ancient memories in them for different people. My retreats in Glastonbury in particular, I think that at a soul level, people are returning to this land and resolving things that happened in past lives in this land, or on this land, I should say.
Okay, so you're one of those people who says that things that you may have done that haven't gone right, or things that haven't gone right for you in previous lives, you have to come back here and try and work them out, and you're helping them to work them out.
Absolutely. And it doesn't necessarily have to be things that have gone right or wrong. It can be that. It can be almost like a homecoming as well.
Ah, now, okay, well, that leads us very nicely, I think, into this lovely little, I have to say, it's a lovely little package. I've got it here, and I only opened it today. I've had it for a couple of weeks, but I've only opened it today. The cards are still sealed, okay? So I don't know if we want to do something with those in a little while, but the cards are sealed. But the design is beautiful. It's a lovely little package. And the, I'm going to try and describe this to my listener now, okay? The box in which the set of cards and a little dinky book, which is the same size as the set of cards, comes, has a V shape in it. So it's two halves of this box. So it hasn't got a flip. If you imagine a packet of cigarettes that has a flip up top, it's not like that. But imagine a bigger, and, you know, please don't smoke, and we don't like cigarettes, but it's the only analogy I can think of, okay? Before somebody says it. Think of something stronger and bigger, slightly, than a pack of cigarettes. But it's got a V groove in it. Instead of the flip up top, it's got a big V groove that goes down into the box, and the thing pulls apart. It doesn't flip. It pulls apart. I'm doing it now. Now, I have a feeling that there's some significance about that design, but you can tell me.
Yes, absolutely. So a way of describing it is like it's like a triangle box. So if you take the lid off and place it upside down, a triangle's revealed, and you can do your card readings using the box. So resting the cards on in the lip of the box. So yeah, that is that is the box. I wanted to make it as unique as possible, and I was so impressed that we were able to actually do it.
Jeez, I shouldn't have tried to describe it because you did it so well. All right. So I've had a quick flip through the book. Not a very, and it's going dark right now. I haven't got the light on, so I'm probably not going to be able to see it. Talk to me about the book then that goes with the cards, how those two things mesh.
Yeah, for sure. So so it's an oracle deck, and an oracle is different from the tarot, if anyone is familiar with the tarot, in the sense that an oracle is a lot more free. So the theme of this particular deck is starseed. And so the book that goes with it really touches on different parts of like the history of star seeds. It looks at ancient civilizations whose creation stories were linked to the stars, like the ancient Egyptians and other different ancient civilizations.
And indeed, you reference the Maya.
Yes, the Maya is referenced in there. Absolutely. Most ancient civilizations have some kind of reference to the creation stories with the stars and the cosmos. So, yeah, the book is filled with information like that. It's also filled with an attunement, which is essentially, it's kind of like a prayer or an invocation so you can connect with the cards. There's sample card readings that you can do. So you don't have to be a full-on psychic intuitive in order to do card readings. You can literally just follow the guidebook, shuffle the cards, and do a card reading either for yourself or for someone else. And then each of the cards has meaning behind it. So as you do your cards, you then look up the book and you'll find the meaning of each of the cards.
Okay, well, if you don't mind, since I've got a brand new deck of them here, and I haven't opened it, we can do whatever you guide me to do, if you want to do that, in a little while. But you talk about here, section 2 in the book says, what is a star seed? And you say star seeds are souls who haven't only incarnated on Earth. It's believed by some that the unconscious ways in which humans have been living on Earth, war, terrorism, separation, killing, disrespecting nature and animals, and, you know, we're seeing the chaos around us right now, led the planet to send out a call to the cosmos, and wave of star seed souls answered. Star seeds are incarnating on Earth as a great adventure, an opportunity for individual growth, and an act of service for the collective. In other words, are you telling us that there are people here who have been incarnated before? They've come back to save us?
Yes. Yes, I believe that. I also believe there's a lot of mystery surrounding who we are as souls. It is one of the greatest mysteries that mystics and sages through the ages have been pondering. And so I believe that we could all be starseeds, in fact.
You mean this generation?
Yeah, and all souls as well.
You know, I mean, we don't want to be too controversial or out there, but here we are facing a global crisis, a pandemic, the kind of thing that I had read about. And I know that last year there was at least one report where medical people, scientists were saying, we're not prepared for something like this. Mm-hmm. But I don't think anybody could have foreseen that we would be affected by something like this, and that it would cause the entire world to go into lockdown, shutdown, breakdown. And that's exactly what's happened. Now, we don't want to extrapolate too far because, you know, it's not right, but we can just talk around it. Do you think that maybe these star seeds that you talk about have been sent here to help us get through situations like this one?
Absolutely. And I think that a lot of what has been happening in the past couple of decades is this mass awakening. And so much has been written, so much has been predicted about these times that it feels almost like, in a way, that we've been preparing for this, like we could feel something like this coming. And now I think it's so interesting the way you described it, of like, this is not how we thought it would happen. But I think everyone at some level could feel something was going to happen. So I think it is extremely interesting that I know for you and I right now in the UK and so many other countries, we're being called to self-isolate, to separate ourselves from others. And of course, many of us live with family and friends, but still we're being called to separate. And one way of looking at that is to separate ourselves from everyone else, and really go into the separation of how we are separate from each other. But the other is through that anyone who's been through a rock bottom experience, anyone who's been through a difficult time, it knows that it's through going into the experience and going into the separateness, the aloneness, that we actually connect into something deeper. And I think that is an incredible opportunity of what we are facing now, as well as it being such a difficult time for many. Like, I was talking to my husband, he's a typical classic guy, into sport, loves the cricket on constantly, all of that. All the men in my life are. And it's incredible listening and observing, like, all of his friends, they just don't know what to do with themselves because they always have the sport on in the background. And now there's nothing wrong with the sport on in the background, but it's this experience that we're all going through. These things that have been the background noise have come to a halt.
Yeah, indeed. And look, my background is news. And that's a fairly tough background, and you have to be fairly tough. But, you know, I always hoped that I had a sensitive side and I was always interested in these things, but you have to be fairly tough to do the job. Right. Everything's come to a screeching, grinding halt right now. I'm looking out of my window into incredible silence and this beautiful, beautiful, you know, as I said, apricot sky. It's getting darker now. But these last few days, apart from being a bit scared when I've gone out and stuff, because, you know, I'm not 25 anymore, but, you know, they're saying this virus is affecting younger people as well as people who, you know, like me, are not 25 anymore. You know, apart from that fear, I've had time to think about my life. You know, it's not just me, and I'm not here to talk about me at all. We're here to talk about the Starseed Oracle. But, you know, a lot of us, I think, are looking into our lives now at this time. A lot of people are listening to podcasts like this one, but a lot of people are thinking in a way that life did not afford them before. I am. These last couple of days, I've thought to myself, I've got to do something about the life that I've been leading for the last 15 years or more. And I'm not alone. I bet there are loads of people listening to this right now who are having a big think. So, you know, it's a time for examining ideas and concepts like the ones that you're presenting here. Now, you say about starseed. Sorry, you were about to say that. Don't let me interrupt.
Yeah, I think that's so beautiful. I love that you shared that, Howard. And I think that it is such a beautiful thing that we're all going through. And the fact is that I don't know anyone who is going through this who has not experienced some kind of shift and transformation. Doesn't mean it's comfortable at all.
And we have to say
the uncomfortableness that those things tend to come.
And as a broadcaster, I have to say, and I should have said it right at the top of this, but my thoughts and thanks go out to all of the emergency service workers, the medical staff, the people who, you know, don't have time to think. They're the people who are on the front line of all of this, and my thoughts are with them. I'm just doing podcasts and radio shows and trying to sort a few things out and trying to keep food on my personal table, but they are really in the front line of this, so I think we have to say that. Now, you talk about starseeds. You say that they're scattered across the planet, and sometimes starseeds feel out of place. Okay, talk around that for me.
So if you think about, I'm going to just relate it to the real world in, like, our normal life right now as an example.
That's so good. Well, I tell you what, while you're talking, do you mind if I just go and put my light on in this room? Otherwise, I'm not going to be able to see a thing. So you talk, I'll put the light on, okay? How about that?
So like, I grew up in Australia, moved over to London, now live in Glastonbury. Every year of my life has shaped who I am. So born in Australia, have an Australian accent, have been in England for about a third of my life. And so I've developed a little bit of an English accent, but first and foremost, I'm Australian. I think the same thing happens to us as souls. So if we consider that our souls have had various different experiences from lifetime to lifetime, as well as potentially incarnating on planets and places that are different from just Earth. Starseeds are souls who have incarnated places other than just Earth. And so the more times that they've incarnated in other places, the more they're homesick they may get.
So it's that feeling of I don't belong. How do you spot one?
Well, I think you feel one rather than spot one. I think that there is a recognition between starseeds who have a similar soul background as you. Just like when I was younger and I made these relationships with people who were very different to me to look at, but there was this resonance between us. I think it's a similar type concept as if you've heard of the concept of soul family, those souls that you have this connection with, and from the moment you meet them, you can feel that connection, but you can't quite put your finger on why. It's that kind of resonance.
Okay. There will be some people listening to this who maybe listen to my regular podcasts about UFOs, conspiracy theories, ghosties and ghoulies and all of those things, and demonic possession and, you know, those things, who will say this is all a bit out there, a bit new agey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I would agree.
Anything you would like to say to them?
Well,
within reason.
What I would say to that is trust where you're being led to explore more. And if it's not a topic for you, that is absolutely great and fine.
But, you know, these people, and, you know, I have an open mind about everything. Mm-hmm. I hope I do. I'd like to think that I do. And that comes from having traveled and having been around the block a bit. I know that when people face a crisis, that's exactly the time they say, God help me, or something help me, or I need to call on, you know, my dead relatives or something like that. You know, those are the times when people think. You say the intention of these cards is that you see them as vehicles for connecting with the portal of your heart. What does that mean?
What that really means is it's a technology to connect in with your inner voice, with your inner wisdom, with that part of you that I believe is constantly whispering to us and leading us. You know, the ancient Greeks spoke about there being two different types of time, Kairos time and Chronos time. Chronos time obviously being the way most of us live our lives day to day, maybe not right now, but generally where we need to show up to meetings on time, we need to catch a bus. It's chronological time, linear time. Kairos time, however, is what I call soul time. It is the place where all healing happens. It's the place where intuition resides. It's the place where if you've ever had a creative idea or a book idea or a movie idea drop in fully formed in an instant. That's Kairos time. And when you work with technologies such as Oracle decks and this particular Oracle deck, it is using a technology to connect in and step into Kairos time.
Okay, and what is when, I'll open the cards in a minute, but what is guiding you then? If you're picking the cards out, what do you think is guiding? Where's the hidden hand?
The hidden hand is, I think that there is this mysterious force that is woven through everything in life. So it's that same force that causes the planet to spin. It's the same force that brings the seasons. It's the pulse of the entire universe beyond just this planet. And I believe that when we connect in with the soul part of us, the heart of us, the spirit of us, we're connecting in with that force, and that it's the most natural thing in the world.
Okay. And there's also a section here about reading for yourself and for others. Mm-hmm. And you have some basic steps here. Do you want to talk me around those? Is this a good time to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you, if you've got your cards, you start by doing an attunement, which is essentially connecting energetically with the cards. And in the guidebook, it'll take you through exactly how to do that. But it's all about your intention when you're working with oracle cards. I see oracle cards as an extension of your own intuition. So it is all about, it's like sitting down and having like a dialogue with your soul, rather than saying, oh my gosh, I need to know what to do. I need this external validation. That's the way I use cards and create cards. So it's like a mirroring back of what's already happening within. The cards are filled with beautiful imagery and symbolism. And each time you look at a particular card, depending on what's happening within you, you'll see something different. So that's the other thing to remember. So you'd start by shuffling the cards, and like maybe you can do a two-card reading.
Isn't that weird? I was just thinking at you.
Really?
And looking at the book thinking, let's do a two-card reading. All right, I haven't even taken the look. Let's do this now.
Yeah,
and
okay.
Just before we do it, what's the difference between these and tarot cards?
So tarot cards are, they've got a different structure. So for people who haven't even used tarot cards before, if you think of like normal playing cards, they've got set suits, right? So you've got the spades, etc. Tarot cards have set suits, and they have the major and minor arcana. So it's a set system that no matter who creates tarot cards, it's pretty much sticks to that system. Whereas an oracle deck is still a divination tool, but it's a lot more free and fluid. So the creator is able to put even more meaning behind it. And it's also more of an exploration around a particular topic, for example. So I have two different decks so far. One's the Work Your Light Oracle, and the other one is the Starseed Oracle. The Work Your Light Oracle is all about like strengthening your intuitive muscles and really connecting in with your, like, the voice of your soul.
Whereas strengthening your intuitive muscles.
Yes, exactly. It's like showing up and doing your workout. whereas the Starseed Oracle looks, while it is about those things too, but it dives deeper into the cosmic connection and the history of our soul. And also it explores different ancient traditions and different lost civilizations that are connected to the stars. So it's just a different topic area, for example.
How many cards are there?
So that's a good question. So in oracles, there are however many the creator wants. So my Work Your Light Oracle has 44, and this Starseed Oracle is a 53 card deck.
Just like tarot.
Yeah. Well, tarot can have more than that, actually. Yeah, but oracles tend to have less. So 44 is the average. Like all the angel oracles tend to have 44 because I think it's an angel number, right? Mm. I'm not really into that.
Well, you know, it's your party.
Kyle Gray, who's been on your podcast, he is all about angel numbers.
Yeah, I like Kyle. Yeah. No, listen, this is your party. If you want to bring trifle or cake, it's absolutely fine.
Absolutely.
Now, look, okay, I've got the cards here, and I've got to say that they're just a nice thing to hold and to own, to have. The design of the book and the cards, it's really rather lovely. And, you know, I'm so sure some of my listeners are going to be shaking their heads and saying, what's he on tonight? I just think they're nice. So I'm going to break the paper band around them, okay?
Wonderful. Do that
now. Done that
yep,
now.
Yep.
And should I just shuffle them like I'm, you know, playing cards?
Yes, exactly. But because they're new cards, you'll mm-hmm. want to kind of like fan them. You know, I'm doing it. I wonder if you can hear me doing it.
Fan them out. I'm doing that
What
now.
Do you call that? Like where you're basically... What is that?
You do that.
Yes, that's it. How do you even describe that?
You know, when I was a kid at school in Liverpool, I got to 16 and I started to study for A-levels. I had a couple of friends at school. One of them was Barry Palmer. Can't remember the other guy, but we used to have lunchtime card schools. So this is taking me back to that.
But anyway. Oh, I love it.
Barry Palmer, what happened to you? Okay, here we go.
Oh, Barry Palmer.
So I'm doing that. Shall I shuffle?
So now you shuffle, and I just maybe if there is an area of your life you'd like guidance on, or you're curious about,
God,
or a question that you've got, you're welcome to share, or you don't have to.
Okay. No, I have to say that here I am at this point in time, and my listeners will know that, you know, I've had wonderful times in this radio game that's been my entire life. And I've had some real crap to deal with, and some people who should be deeply, deeply ashamed of themselves. You worked in the media, you know what I mean. Mm. And yet I've known some absolutely wonderful people too. So there's a balance there. But that's by the by. So I'm, you know, I need a little guidance on the way forward now. Because, you know, this quiet time, and here I've been, you know, I learned last weekend, and I'm touching wood here that it works again. I broadcast from this setup. I went national on the radio from exactly where I'm sitting right now for the first time. There's a guy in America called Art Bell who was my hero. He was the doyen of this genre. And Art, before he died, said to me, you know, you can do this stuff. Because he's been a one-man band. He was a one-man band for his last 20-odd years. And I've always wanted to do that. I love technology and equipment and stuff. And I haven't really had the guts to go the full mile with it. So I suppose the question is around that, really, if it's not too nebulous. So let's keep shuffling. Because it's a new deck. They're sticking together a bit.
Shuffling. Yeah, exactly. So you need to do the thing that you used to do at your
Shall I fan it again?
Breaks. Yes, fan it again.
Have a listen. I
and
love this sound.
As you're doing that, and there's no right or wrong way of doing it, but just connect in with your heart and connect in with the question, with the area, and whatever it is that you believe in, whether it's the heart, whether it's the goddess, whether it's God, whatever it is, just connect in with that and just kind of be like, please guide me, please lead me, please show me the way. So it's all about intention.
Well, having talked about having been through all sorts of garbage, fundamentally, I'm an optimist because I always believe it'll work out, and it usually does. But having said that, let's do a bit more shuffle.
Great.
I'm out of practice here. I haven't played cards seriously for years. You know, I used to drive them mad at school because I didn't know much about it. I wasn't a great card player, and I used to win all the time.
Lucky. And, I love it.
You know, Barry used to go mad because he was a good card player. I mean, he was a serious...
Whatever happened to Barry?
I'm sure he did very well for himself. Some good people I knew at school. Okay, let's just do that. Let's stop those sticking together. Let's do this here and do that. Something says I should stop now. Okay.
Okay, so then just fan them out or just however you want to do it. Again, no right or wrong way to do it. And just let yourself be led. You're going to be picking two cards, and I want you to know the order that you pick them in. Mm-hmm. But just
so any from anywhere within the deck.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to do one. And what do I look at it or do I not?
Don't look at it yet.
And where do I put it?
Just put it to the side, and then get the second.
Do I need to put it in this V-shaped cardboard thing receptacle?
You can, yes.
Yeah. So all right, I'm going to do. There's
you
one.
Place the lid in front of you, and then you're going to rest the first card.
Okay, number one and number two, and something says I've got to take this one. So let's do that. And I haven't looked at it, and I'm putting that, and they're both looking away from me, so I don't know what they are, and they are now in a V shape. In this box.
So now I want you to turn them over in the V shape and tell me which ones are position one and two.
All right. Left to right?
Yes.
Okay, left to right, we have cracked open.
Oh, that's so funny. I literally had pulled that card for us today.
And the other one is upside down.
Yep. So we can read into that, but we don't have to. So tell me what the card is and it'll become clear.
A new earth. It's happening. Keep holding the vision.
Oh, what a great, great, great card, especially for your question. Okay, cool. So in this two-card spread, you may see it there, but I'll describe it for anyone listening. So in this two-card spread, it's a real simple spread. And, you know, I really believe that all the intuitive guidance in the world is pointless unless we act on it and really ground the information. So this two-card spread is great for that. So in position one, we've got cracked open, which is soul whisper, what your soul wants you to know. And then card two is grounded action, the action your soul's guiding you to take.
Why is it upside down?
Look, some people read into that. I personally don't. So if you were someone who does believe the flipped card, which can mean it's the opposite meaning, but the cards weren't created in that energy. But if you believe that, then, you know, because the cards are a mirror of you.
Well,
so
let's just say, I don't think I want to believe that.
Let's not, I don't think we should. And it doesn't feel true either. So in position one, this is cracked open, which is a real interesting message for particularly where we are generally at the moment with the coronavirus. So surrendering to the alchemy of life, rock bottom. Don't let the weight of the world and density of the world squash your spirit. Instead, let it call even more of it home into your body at the center front of your life. It's through the extreme pressure of life's trials that diamonds are cultivated. It's when things are at their darkest that we cultivate proper faith and our light is ignited. It's through the crumbling that we can allow our wounds to be alchemized. Let your pain, sorrow, and losses make you, not break you. Let life alchemize your tragedies into gold. Be open to being cracked open, wide open. It's the difficult times that help us to grow in leaps and bounds and in ways that we could only dream were possible. Okay. But first, they have to crack us open. Sometimes it hurts like hell. It's nature's way. Whether you let it happen or not, it's going to happen. So surrender to the process. It's how the light gets
right
in.
So you can't make an omelet without breaking eggs.
Exactly.
Yeah, there you are. And what about a new earth? Now, the new earth is a beautiful piece of art. I mean, the artwork is lovely, but it's done in sort of pastel colors, and we've got a girl standing on the, if you ever saw the Truman Show, and where Jim Carrey goes to the beachfront, and stands there with the ocean in front of him and the stars. It's like that. And there is the moon, I presume it is, or it could be the earth, in front of her.
It's a new earth.
Of course, it's called a new earth. Silly boy. It says here, it's happening. Keep holding the vision.
Yes. So this is all about, this is confirmation. Keep going. So in this position as well, remember, this is about like the action, like what are you being called to do? So this is about, don't lose the focus. Keep focused. It's like that classic thing of when you're running a race and you feel someone coming up behind you. Don't look back. Just keep focused on where you're going. The path is guided. You know the way. Keep going. Keep focused.
All right. Now, there were going to be listeners who like the other stuff that I do. And I said at the top of this show is a bit of a diversion from a lot of the others. You know, we also do these things and they're enjoyable sometimes. And God, if there was ever a time when you need to reach into yourself and have a little think. And have a think about the way you've comported yourself over all of these years. I'm doing it. Maybe you're doing it too. So, you know, we've only got me here. There's only me and you. But we might do this on the radio at some point if you'd like to do that. And we get people to phone in. And we maybe
Wonderful.
Do it for them if you fancy
yes,
doing
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. I'd love to.
Okay. Well, you know, we might do that. Sometimes I get terrible stick from some listeners who say, what are you doing this stuff for? And what do they call them? Fortune tellers. Don't have fortune tellers on. Well, you know, life is all things. There are people who tell fortunes and there are people who create intergalactic spaceships. You know, there's room for all of us, I think. But you know, what do I know about anything that's worth knowing? So look, the only problem with all of this is that if I did that draw again, I'd get two different cards.
Well, you could, and sometimes you do, and sometimes you don't. Sometimes you get the exact same card.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, we don't have to put it to that test. But I did know, and still know, he's, you know, I've known him for 3 decades, Christian Dion, who is a psychic medium in the United States now, but he started his working life in Blackpool. He's from Blackpool. And, you know, certainly he demonstrated the tarot with me many times, and I was always amazed that I didn't quite understand it. And I thought it was, I feared that, you know, I'm really suspicious, but when we first did this, I thought, oh, there must be something not right about this. But you know, he said, you'll keep picking out the same cards. And I did. It was utterly bizarre. So maybe it works this way with you. And for those people who say it's all garbage, you know, I can tell you stories of weird coincidences and strange stuff from my own life. You know, it's not all hunky-dory. You'll sometimes go to people to do tarot readings for you and think, what a bunch of bunker. But this is interesting. Okay, so you might pick out some different cards the next time round. You may pick out similar cards. So here's a question then. What practical use is any of this?
Well, I believe that the more time we spend connecting in with what I would call our soul, you might call your heart, someone else might call the inner self, the better our life gets, in my opinion, because I believe that that part of us that we are connecting with is the part of us that is keeping us up at 3 a.m. in the morning when we can't sleep and we know that something doesn't feel right. And so just as you would invest in spending time with in your romantic relationship or a friendship or a family member, the more you invest in that relationship, the deeper the relationship gets and the more fulfilling it generally gets as well. Mm. And the same thing goes with the inner self.
Now, if I was on the radio, I would have to put in, quite rightly, a caveat. And I'd have to say, obviously, you know, regard this as entertainment on a surface level. Don't live your life by it, because some people get taken over by these things. You know, I would be required to do that. I think it's important that we say that here. You know, it's just an interesting thing to do. And if you can take something out of it, then fine. And if you can't take anything out of it, well, then just enjoy reading the book and looking at the nice pictures.
Absolutely. I want to echo as well that they don't have to be a divination tool, as in like prediction. It can be a way of like throughout the oracle, it's asking questions for you to connect in with your inner self. So for example, you know, what would light you up today? And the answer will come from within you, not outside of you.
Well, at the moment, I've got a rather nice green Thai chicken curry in the fridge.
Oh, nice.
That I went out in my military operation of using hand gel and not touching anything at the supermarket when I bought yesterday. So, you know, for all of that effort, I want to enjoy that. So that would light me up at the moment. Okay,
right.
We're coming to the end of this. Is there anything that we haven't said and we should?
I think that if anyone else is if anyone's interested in exploring more about the like ancient star origins, look into like ancient Egypt and different civilizations like that. There's also a great series on Gaia.com if anyone wants to delve even more deeply into it.
Okay. And what are your future plans then? You've got this out at the moment.
Yep, got this out. I'm writing two books at the moment, one called You Were the Oracle and the other one called Fall Into My Arms.
Fall Into My Arms. Mm-hmm. Well, is that kind of attracting your perfect partner?
No, it's not. No. It is a book. I think it's a book to the great mother, as in the mother holding us all. So yeah, that one's going to take me a little while to write.
Okay. Well, you know, I think for my listener, at this time when it's absolutely peaceful and when most of us have just had to stop, it's not a bad thing to have a conversation like the one that we've just had. And I thank you for it. Time for you to publicize it then. What's it called and where'd you get it?
It's called The Starseed Oracle, and you can get it on Amazon or on my website at rebeccacampbell.me.
RebeccaCampbell.me. Rebecca, thank you for doing that.
Thank you so much, Howard.
Your thoughts about Rebecca Campbell, something different for a change? Please contact me via the website, theunexplained.tv, and let me know what you think. And if you just want to shoot the breeze or get in touch, that's absolutely fine by me. More great guests in the pipeline here at The Unexplained. So until next we meet, my name is Howard Hughes. This has been The Unexplained Online. And please, whatever you do in these troubled times in this world, please stay safe. Please stay healthy. Please stay calm. And above all, please stay in touch. Thank you very much. Take care. Bye-bye.